Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Up on TSN 4, our buddy Dave Poulin will join us here in a moment. We're fielding submissions for what we're going to name this groundhog bit in about a half an hour. There's a lot of people writing in different things that they would trust the groundhog over.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a different way to do it. Like, just come up with, on the fly, different things that you would have more faith in.
Right.
Or less faith in than a groundhog telling you what the weather pattern is going
to
be like.
You have to get your facts straight, because this tweet right here, I trust Cliff Fletcher with a fax machine more than the groundhog, hashtag Jeff Finger. I think that's the wrong.
Yeah, that wasn't a fax machine. That was Cliff, though, that signed Jeff Finger to that deal. So I would trust the groundhog in that scenario.
Over that situation?
Yeah. That didn't go well for the Leafs. Went very well for Jeff Finger.
He got paid a lot of money.
There was rumblings that they honestly got, like, the term and the per year. Like, they butchered that.
It
was like
supposed to be 4.5 over 3 years, and it was 3 years at 4.5. Something like that.
There has to be a backstory.
Yeah.
Jeff Finger was like a third pairing depth guy.
Yeah.
Well, with
not a lot of notoriety.
He had played 40 some games. I know that. You know why I know that? Is because there was other teams that were looking at him. I know that.
Yes.
Put it that way.
On a 1 or 2 year deal at 800 grand or something.
Yes. 1.2 is kind of where they thought he was.
It was a clerical error. I'm convinced.
You think so?
It was a clerical error.
Instead of saying 4.2 over 3 years, it was 4.2 for 3 years.
Right.
There could be a 30 for 30 over that. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe there was a bidding war, but I don't know.
I don't think so, man.
He was in Colorado, right?
Yes, he was in Colorado.
And he had played like
barely
half
played.
A season, like 45.
No one knew. That was the shock. Like I remember I was driving home. I was playing golf with my dad. We're up at TPC up at Osprey Valley. Love that spot. And we were coming home, and we were listening to the radio, and there was an update, and it said, and the Leafs have signed Jeff Finger, 4 years at 3.5 per. And we both looked at each other and said, who is that guy?
But
4 years, 3.5. Like, that just, there's no way.
Yeah.
Immediately, we're like, that cannot possibly be right.
I don't want to misspeak. He actually did play 72 games the year before. So he had 72, 8 goals, 11 assists, 19 points. And then the Leafs signed him. So he had played 22 games the year before and 72.
That's outrageous.
So 94 games of experience.
That's a clerical error. Like, and Finger, to his credit, said, I'm signing it and sending it to Bettman, and it's ratified.
Well, you don't.
And then the Leafs are like, all right, well, you know.
Congrats.
Yeah.
It was just a weird thing.
It was a weird time. Yeah, you're not.
It was a weird time, and weird things were going on. It was right after the Fergler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
And then Freddie Got Fingered shows up, and it was so weird.
Yeah, it was really weird. We got Pooley in a moment. Pooley has to have stories.
Yeah, but
he's not going to tell us all the details. But this is where, like, it happens with politics. It happens with, like, royals. It happens in so many different capacities where you hype people up and make them out to be infallible. And they can't make mistakes. They're people.
Yeah.
They are humans. And prior to technology expanding the way it was literally writing on a piece of paper, calling it in, sending a fax.
Well,
do you know how many mistakes there must have been back in the day?
Absolutely. Like,
but
isn't there
that kind?
Maybe not. Like that expensive of
a
mistake?
Bad connection.
Yes,
you know, like just on the phone, it's a bad connection between.
Well, there have been reported deals that were agreed upon by both parties that eventually broke off because they got to a point where they realized they weren't talking about the same players. Like, literally, one team was like, man, we're fleecing these guys. We got this guy, that guy, and this pick. And the other team's like, man, can you believe they're making this deal? And then it gets to the league office.
Right.
And they're like, oh, we're not giving you that guy. No, we're not doing this.
If somebody did a deep dive and did an investigative search on the botched fax machines and things that could have happened, I would read that book.
Well, that's
all day.
Didn't that happen in Chicago? It's quite, I believe, well known, where I don't know if the Blackhawks management didn't get in their QOs in time.
Yes. Andrew Ladd.
That cost, I think it was
Bufflin,
Big Buff and Versteeg. And there was
I think Andrew Ladd was one of them,
yes,
too.
Yes, there was a couple of them that were forced. They didn't get their QOs, mm-hmm. but they had to sign them, and it cost them money.
And remember Jay Feaster with the Ryan O'Reilly
offer sheet
where yes. they had to put him on waivers. And yeah. Colorado matched, so it didn't matter. But yeah. Uncle Feaster would have had to place him on waivers.
That was
and give up the picks.
Feaster. What was
that?
You don't remember that?
Oh, dude, I remember.
But I got to hear it again. There was an offer sheet.
Based on the nature of O'Reilly's like status in the league, something to do with right. it was an RFA or something like that, and it had passed a date.
Right.
Where they offered him the offer sheet. O'Reilly accepted it. It was like two firsts and a second or whatever.
Yeah.
If Colorado said, fine, you can have him, the CBA indicated they had to get him through waivers. So he would have gone on waivers and someone could have just said, okay, I'll claim him.
Yeah,
and the Flames would have had to chew up. I'm pretty sure those are the details.
I think Pooley would know about that.
How do you not have an assistant GM that says, let's actually maybe do this, or we're both going to get fired on the spot.
It might have been a loophole that they missed.
But I think it clearly was, obviously. But that's like they're people. That's the point.
Exactly.
They're just, hey, let's get this guy. That'd be great. We'll pay that. Yeah. Okay. Here's Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I'm sure you've heard some crazy stories, Pooley. Seen crazy stories. Clerical errors. Fax machine doesn't work. You think you're talking about the wrong player or a different player. How often does that happen behind the scenes?
Way more than you want to think, gentlemen. And it's more than a one-person job, I can tell you right now. And I think we're going to see models develop like is in Montreal right now, where essentially you have two GMs, right? Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes. Now, Kent Hughes is the face and that's the guy you see more often, but Jeff Gorton is right there riding shotgun with him. And I think it's a two-person job. I really do. I marvel, you would have played for Pat Quinn. Like, think about being the GM and the coach.
I don't see him as a dot the I's and cross the T's type of guy.
No, just in your spare time, when you're not coaching, just make sure you know all those rules.
Yeah. That would be really tough.
You know, and there's so many. But O'Reilly was a different case. It was a different type of free agency involved. He had gone to Europe, so it was past a certain date, and there was different things involved. And you got to have somebody that just does that full time. There's too many other factors involved. It really is crazy that it doesn't happen more often. Like, that's the most amazing thing. Is that there aren't mistakes made more often because of all the different wrinkles and all the different rules and everything else that goes on.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the league office that plays like a buffer role? That, in other words, it's like, guys, I don't
you
think
might you might want to sign at the bottom there. Yeah. Or this is nullified.
Like, there's some small print here. You might want to take a look. Does that happen?
Yes, there are. There are people involved in that office, and that's the group that Brandon Pridham came out of, right? You know, basically the rules that wrote the CBA. I mean, they wrote the CBA. Sean McLeod heads it up, and that's what they do. And Damian Echevarriata is that in part of that group. And so, and they know everything inside out. And they're not, you don't want to see guys burned.
How come nobody didn't send an email to Jay Feaster back in the day?
I can't answer that.
There might have been, though. It might have been too late.
Do you remember that, Pooley? That was insane.
Yes, I do. It would have been, a catastrophe had it happened. It would have been. You just gave up whatever category was in, two first and second, or whatever that was at that time. And then, by the way, anybody can now have the player for the price that you paid him. And it would have gone in reverse order, right? So it would have been the least team that got the first shot at him. So I think disaster was saved on that one by Colorado matching the offer sheet.
Wow. So, Pooley, before we get into hard hockey talk, do you want to just walk through the incident that you witnessed outside of the keg the other night? I laid it down and I said that anybody, we could have a GoFundMe to pay the keg in Montreal to find the CCTV you know, video replay of it. But, I mean, I was still a little bit sore the next day, and I actually admitted to the guys, I got up as quick as I could when I fell. You helped me. But it just, that I went down pretty hard, obviously.
You went down hard. Now, you know, I normally wear boots when I go in Montreal. Forget the suit and the boots thing. You just wear boots because it's crazy. I mean, there's so much snow there right now, and you're wandering through. But that's a legitimate mistake because it's a flat patio. There's stairs, but then there's like a ramp. So it goes gradually at that point. So it's like, it's literally like you just fall off the top part and now you're on a little ramp going down. So that's legitimate. There's no question about it. You did go down hard. I saw the police outline of your body on the ground after you got up. It had already been outlined, one arm kind of up and across. But you went down pretty hard. I thought you were fine. You told us you were fine.
Yeah.
So you were a little bit sore afterwards?
Sounds that way. We talked about it yesterday. When you go down, it doesn't matter if you've broken both legs. You get up and you try and fight through it and let everybody know you're good.
All good. Yeah, yep. I'm good.
Nothing you have to. Here. It's mandatory.
I limped my way to the Marriott and barely made it into bed. I woke up a little rough yesterday, but I was fine. But it was more embarrassing than anything.
You're a trooper.
So you were fine when you were walking the two blocks with us, but then you weren't fine after that?
Oh, yeah. I limped my way home.
Get around that corner. Get around that corner.
I had ligament damage in my ankle, too. I was like, my whole left side was struggling, but I was fine. Somehow I was
all good. You made it to the All-Star break, yeah, and that's all that matters.
That is when you'd get hurt, too, is right before the All-Star break.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's when a player would get hurt, right?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
No question about it. There was a famous story about a Leaf, right, who broke his ankle skiing and then came back. It was one of the Euros. And then they strapped him in a boot. He went out for practice and then, spun an ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Alakoff do that back in the day?
No, Vladdy had, I remember, he was with the Canadians. And they went down to New York or something. And he had knee surgery. And during the break or something, people spotted him skiing.
Yeah, he was in Tromblon.
Yeah, Mont Tremblant.
Yeah, bombing around Tromblon. Like, man, that guy, those ligaments look pretty good.
And the other one was he had bought like some $50,000 watch in New York, and it got buzz, and he wore it through customs, and customs was waiting for him going, actually, you got to pay tax on that. Because I think somebody put it in the media, like Malakoff showed up with his new watch, and customs was like, well, you have to pay duty on that.
Right.
So I think he got jammed up twice.
Well, yeah, that just sounds like bad luck, guys.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. There's nothing you can do. Dave Poole and our TSN hockey analyst, did you learn anything from that Leafs-Bruins game that you didn't know prior to puck drop last night?
Well, I've seen the Bruins play. I just had them last week or a week and a half ago in Montreal, and Montreal played really well against them and ended up losing in the last couple minutes. And what Jimmy Montgomery did each period, because it was a close game, the last two shifts or three shifts of the period, he just loaded up his line. And sure enough, he did it in a tie game late. Bergeron wins the draw. Pasternak gets the shot. Marchand goes to the net, and it's the game-winning goal. So it's a nice luxury to have. I think in the last two games that I've seen them, so one live and one last night, their depth is a little better than I even thought it was. And, you know, I mean, you look at last night, all their defensemen were in on the scoring, I believe, except for Clifton. Everybody had a point from the D position. And that Lindholm's a good player, guys. He's up ice all the time. He's a good player. And, you know, Greer, that was such a weird thing. It was like Greer scored, and then Simmons said, you got to put me out there because a guy like that can't score against him. I'm going to go beat him up. Like, it was 2 seconds later, he got beat up after he scored. It's like, we can't let that guy score. It was almost like, it was strange. Because I was watching, and I said, that guy just scored a goal. And 2 seconds later, he's in the penalty box for getting hammered.
Yeah. Man, and Simmons threw some bombs in that
fight. Yeah, that first one that was over, right?
Yeah.
That was just over, that first punch. I mean, Simmons can still handle himself so well. But wasn't it like he went out there right after that goal and said, you know, it changed the flow, whatever. But it was like, I'm going to beat up the guy that scored. He can't score against us. He's a fourth-line player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that Zacha, that was a, you know, Donnie Sweeney, he's taken a lot of heat because of that one draft, right, in 2015.
Yeah, the three picks.
He had the three picks, 13, 14, and 15, and the next three kids picked were Barzell, Kyle Connor, and Thomas Chabot were the next three. And the only one he got of his three
were
was
DeBrusque. Yeah.
Right. And so, but he's made some really good trades, guys. He has that Lindholm trade last year before the deadline. That's an excellent trade. And it didn't pay off last year, but he gets him re-signed, and now he's got a stud 1-2 defenseman. The Taylor Hall deal was right before the deadline. And I know Buffalo, he wanted out, and they were going to move him, but that was a good trade. And the Pavel Zacha trade, he gave up Eric Haller for that kid. That kid was the number six overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. And then he gets back, and he gets kind of the magic of the checkmates, they're calling them, you know, in-house. And he gets a couple guys in Krejci, and now they can drop Pasternak down to the second line. So when I talk about the depth, I don't think it's just the third and fourth lines. Now you got a second line with David Pasternak sitting on it. You still got DeBrusque coming back as well. So I think they're deeper than they've been, maybe all the way back to their cup team. So I don't know if it surprised me, but I noticed it for sure.
Speaking of their depth, Pooley, as far as the Maple Leafs trying to do something with their depth, Hayes brought up a couple of different scenarios in the first hour, one being like a couple pieces, like if you were talking about St. Louis and O'Reilly and Barbashev, and that kind of would push some guys down to play in more depth-type roles, or just go for a big dog like the kid out in San Jose, the Meyer kid. Which way would you lean on, like if you were in the management position, how would you assess that? Which do you think would be more beneficial?
Just with those two options, though, I would take O'Reilly and Barbashev and the two pieces. Barbashev plays a kind of a heavy game, and O'Reilly would let you bump a yarn croak down. You know, Meyer gives you, he's a big body, but he's more of what you have, and there's that complex qualifying offer next year, right? All the way around, I'd rather take those two players that you mentioned. Now, it's going to take a lot to get those two players. You know, and you could say goodbye to Matthew Knies, who, you know, because if I'm on the other side of that, I'm asking for him as part of whatever's coming back for players like that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Two rentals, too. But, like, that's kind of where I was coming. Like, what was determined last night, and I think what we've seen all year, and I think it applies with Tampa, too, Pooley, is that they just have more depth. Like, everything you just detailed about Boston. And then at the end, you go, oh, they also have DeBrusque. Mm-hmm. Still coming back, plus a deadline where they might acquire something.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just the Leafs, they at least have depth. You can't be a top five team in the league without it. But to match that depth, and I would argue Tampa's depth, 1 through 12 up front, 1 through 6 on the back end, is also better than the Leafs. You got to address it, or, you know, do you just go big game hunting and add a fifth guy up front and say, we're leaning on five guys? Like, we're just chips in the middle, five. Let's see what happens.
It is, but you're five. If you put another guy in that mix, you're just going to bite away at the minutes of the other guys, you know, even if it's a minute or two. I don't think, you know, with some of the depth they've added, Brian, up front, you know, I don't really know what, I guess, Holmberg is, or, you know, how Aston Reese is going to be. We've seen flashes from them, but nothing that says, of all that group, David Kampf is the most reliable by far. But do you really know what Joey Anderson's going to give you if he's one of your guys in depth in the playoffs? And you know, the beauty of some of the other teams is they've established it over a longer period of time. Like, Charlie Coyle is now a third-line center, right? That's a pretty good third-line center. And a weird twist, he got to be a second-line center last year because he had to be a second-line center. So he's had all those matchups for a year, and now you drop him into the three-hole because you get Krejci back. So just that advantage. I mean, your third line right now in Boston, when DeBrusque comes back, has a Hart Trophy winner on it in Taylor Hall and Charlie Coyle. It's your third line. And so, you know, the pieces at times, it's looked like they were there. I think David Kampf, once again, I think he'd be a great four. If you can keep him in the four hole, you know, I'd really like that because then he's killing penalties as well. But is Yarncroke one of your, can you find a way to drop him down?
Yeah.
And you know, Kerfoot, I think Kerfoot's going to do what Kerfoot does wherever he's playing. But if you go and get that and say, okay, we're going to have the big four and then Meyer's going to be your five and we're just shooting for that, you're still only getting two lines out of it. You're only eating that many minutes. And, you know, is he taking minutes away from one of your other big four?
So, Pooley, you know, watching last night's game, from, let's take everybody, everything out of it. If you're in management, I would argue you don't let one game dictate your thought process, because, you know, Boston clearly was motivated. It looked like the Leafs weren't, you know, they weren't all there as far as, you know, their A game. So if you're behind the curtain, does a game like that confirm suspicions that you have, or, you know, confirm thought process that you have if you're Kyle Dubas? Or do you just park it and say, okay, it's just another, you know, kind of in-season test where, you know, I kind of feel like where my group is at? Like, my point is knee-jerk reaction shouldn't be made off of one game, even if it is against a measuring stick game against the top-tier team.
Absolutely not, Jim. You can't do that.
Right.
And in a way, are you less concerned because Marner was -4 and Nylander was -3? Well, they're not going to do that very often, if ever again. And, right. You know, your best players weren't your best players. Now, this group has shown that on most given nights, their best players are the best players. There's not many nights when Mitch Marner's not there. There's not many nights when this year, particularly when Willie Nylander hasn't been there. Tavares has been as steady as a rock, and Matthews is Matthews. So that part up front, you know, do I have a little bit of concern about Liljegren and Sandin? And they were -3 each, but it was a more physical game. In their matchups, they've got Trent Frederick running them, or, you know, guys like that who make it more physical. And they're going to have to stand up in that type of game, because that's what's going to happen with matchups in the playoffs with those heavier guys. And they've been really good this year. They weren't good last night. And so I don't throw out the year for a night, for sure. But and they played well against Boston the last two times. So no, I don't put too much in it. But what it reaffirms is, hey, Boston's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to guys in Boston. They're like, believe me, there's concern about the Leafs if you're in Boston. I know they have the false bravado and everything that, you know, that they own them and they control them. They also know this is the best Leafs team that they've seen in the last couple of years. And that's, they know that. It was interesting because I got, you know, I had a chance to sit with a couple of guys and before in the morning skate and in Montreal, and they'll say that. And wide open, they'll say, this is, you know, this Toronto team. They ask me about it because they know I do games, and say, that's a really, really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no mistaking. Now, once again, Liljegren and Sandin weren't very good last night. They've got to be better to be your third pair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Bunting was in the middle of everything last night. And
you know, the temper tantrum on the bench, guys, it was awesome because it was the boy who cried wolf, right? Like, it was. And, you know, he's gotten away with a lot. And just the opposite last night, he wasn't trying to get away with anything. He got clocked. And in whatever in the past, you know, those referees are human, right? And if they get tricked or fooled, they don't forget. And I think it was Francis Chiron who just said, no, you're not getting that call. You're not. I don't know what you would have had to do to get a call against Bunting in that situation.
That's it. Like, by the end, the whistles were away. And like, there were legit penalties that should be called. Absolutely should be called.
No question. The one in front of the net, the Carlo one on Bunting, was a penalty. And it was a 4.
Yeah.
And but the temper tantrum on the bench was the kid at the bus stop.
Just losing it.
It was the kid at the bus stop whose bluff got called. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't getting his way, and he wasn't getting bailed out on this one, and he just was not getting it. And he was beside himself. And, you know, he's a guy who draws as many or more penalties than anybody in the league does, and he's very effective at it. But with certain officials, that has a limit, particularly if they've been burned in the past and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, those guys go and watch tape, and they're told, you know, they have to watch tape just like players watch tape. And if they get burned and it's more than once by one guy, you know, they'll take it once. But if that's happened a couple of times, they're going to say, you do not get the benefit of the doubt if I don't see something 100%.
Yep.
And that would be the case, right? The ref didn't see 100% of it. So he was not getting the benefit of the doubt there. And sure enough, it should have arguably been a 4. For sure.
Absolutely. All right, Pooley, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the All-Star weekend, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. See, Mark Stone had back surgery out indefinitely. Does that mean the season? I can't get
a
read on that.
And I also think they will use his $9.5 million to go big game hunting at the deadline, too.
Well, they better. They're in trouble.
Well, they're a cap team. They're a cap team that's been playing gymnastics since they come into
for
the
years.
League.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row. Eichel is not their savior right now.
Yeah,
well, there hasn't been their savior. And
they'll
Stone's,
be proactive.
He has a chance to be.
Yeah,
but that's
he has
a chance to be
for sure. He does.
You talk about the Leafs pushing their chips in. There are other teams around the league that are going, hey, you know, we see a pathway here too. So whether it's Meyer or whoever else is available. Like, it's interesting for me to see who's going to be available or gets the trigger pulled on in Vancouver.
Yes, and I think there's more. I think the mentality in the West is different than in the East because right. the East has more top-end talent. Right. Like, Boston's a great team.
Carolina,
the Leafs are great. Carolina's
a
great team. Tampa's a great team. The Rangers, I think, have the chance to do a lot of damage. You look in the West, who's the best team? Like, it's, I think we all say Colorado when they're healthy and rocking, for sure. And okay, let's concede that. Colorado is that by the end
maybe
of the year.
Maybe this year, if they get
who's number two?
Maybe the oil can.
Well, I think this Dallas team might, you don't sleep on them, too. That Ottinger's a player.
He's good. He's good. Winnipeg in a similar spot, but I don't look at them as like, wow, they're so good.
Dude, if McGee and Draisaitl crank it up like they did last year, and Jeff Skinner's good in net, maybe they squeak through.
Yeah, listen, they're red hot right now. Like, yeah, the fun. Oilers are hitting
Kane's
the break.
Back, maybe they add, who knows?
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, there are teams, you're right, like, there are teams out there that you go, if they get going, that's a good team. Out East, there's some teams that have kind of proven and been there mm-hmm. and been good teams all season long, haven't had these, like, real dry stretches. Boston, Carolina, the Leafs, Tampa.
Jersey's been really consistent.
You know, there's five or six back. I'm not even including Pittsburgh and Washington.
Right.
Like, those.
And again, I think the Rangers are a good
Rangers,
team,
like,
well built.
Like, there's depth on both sides. It's just different type. Like, I think out West there's been more inconsistency mm-hmm. with teams that we think are good, where in the East there's teams that have been good and been pretty consistent from pillar to post here
yes.
so far.
Yeah, exactly.
So, be interesting to see. But that's where I think this deadline is going to get crazy.
Well, I agree, because I think, you know, Boston's the clear-cut best team. Like, even yeah. Sheldon Keefe said after the game, like, they scored 40 more goals than anyone in terms
yeah,
of their
insane.
Goal differential. Like,
insane.
They're plus 40 on anybody. They're beating up on everyone. And they're now 13 points up on the Leafs with a game in hand. It's gone. They're gone. They've been gone for 2 or 3 months.
Right.
They're gone. They're the team to beat. Period.
Yeah.
But the nature of the Stanley Cup playoffs is that doesn't mean anything.
It often doesn't mean you're winning anything.
No, it doesn't guarantee you anything.
The team that always dummies everybody, they are not around at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, right. We'll see what kind of matchup they get. We'll see what the injuries are like in 2 months,
exactly.
where their goaltending's at. There's
yeah.
a lot of different things.
Yep.
So, you know, you put all your chips in the middle. There's teams that you know that Boston's doing that. Toronto's going to do that. Tampa's going to do that. Carolina, I think, will do that. Colorado's going to do that.
Is some of these teams have cap space. Like, I think Carolina might have some cap space.
Yeah,
like
but are they willing to spend it? I don't know. Like, that's
well, and
on the owner
to do it. But like, you've got to, like, that's what I mean. Like, if you're going to go all in, you got to go all in. Like, you know, you're worried about the future and all of that. Like, future is now. Like, this Leaf team, the way that it's constructed, this is now. It's they've got to make one or two significant moves to be...
Just feel even better about yourself.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like Pooley said, the rest of the league's looking at the Leafs, and, like, they're a really good team.
Sure.
Really good team. And if they're healthy and they're in a good place, they will be a really tough out. But...
So are, you know,
so
like
will
you
other
say,
teams.
So
yeah,
will
it applies
teams.
To other teams
yeah,
and do what you can to improve yourself.
Yep, I agree.
And then see where it takes you. Mike Johnson will join us later this afternoon. We're going to get into some NFL, some Super Bowl talk. More of a recap, too, on Brady, the Brady news, and what he might do with his future. Mike Nolan's coming up, former Niners and Broncos coach, and now NFL Network analyst. So we'll catch up with Mike in about an hour from now. So Mike Johnson, Mike Nolan in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mike Johnson, Still to come, Mike Nolan, former Niners head coach, former player, NFL Network analyst, he'll join us. We didn't get into this earlier in the week. You see New Balance signed a massive deal with Shohei Ohtani.
Ugliest cleats in MLB.
Shohei's a New Balance guy.
I mean, they're comfortable. Are they not? New Balance
makes a comfortable shoe. Very comfortable.
It's like Skechers. People are torn on Skechers. You either love them or hate them. Now, I don't know if I have any Skechers.
Yeah, I don't have a pair of Skechers.
But like, I feel like New Balance has fallen into that. Like,
yeah, it's not. You know, the cool kids are not wearing New Balance. Let's call it what it is.
Or Skechers.
Skechers are just a. It's almost like you've got two miniature minivans on your feet, and it's like, I quit. Oh, my goodness.
It's a statement.
It's a weird vibe. It's just got, like, if you've got, like, dad jeans on and Skechers with Velcro, and I don't know.
Yeah. It's a statement. Like, you know exactly what it means.
About 15 years ago, I was single, and I was supposed to go on a date. And I was chatting up with this girl or whatever, and I swear to God, like, she made a comment. It was like, well, you know, like, only losers wear Skechers. And I swear to God, I looked in my hotel room. There was a brand new box of Skechers sitting there, like, I was going to wear. And I just left them.
Oh, you go barefoot if you have to.
I took those shoes and just left them in the room.
Yeah, Birkenstocks if you have to.
It was like...
I would have just worn a pair of socks to dinner.
Yeah. Where are your shoes? It doesn't matter.
Someone stole them,
but at least they're not Skechers, because exactly. I'm not a loser.
Now,
and
I
you're
was
gonna
a
like
loser
me.
That had a brand new pair of Skechers.
Yeah, that's got to hurt, man.
Well, hey.
Got to hurt.
That was years ago. Like,
how does a Skechers come up on an ice-breaking convo before a date?
Oh, it was like a random.
That's a weird rabbit hole, like icebreaker.
It was like, yeah,
that's a weird one.
What do you? I was on the road. Where you? Where been shopping? Yeah, I went shopping.
It's a warning shot, is what it is. Yeah. You have Skechers on.
Yeah.
You just walk right out the door.
I'm coming up with
some Wrangler orange tabs. It's over.
It's over. Anyway, so Shohei, listen, that's the. A huge ticket. Like, in Japan, everyone's going to be cruising around at New Balance because Shohei Ohtani is massive over there. We got some Aaron Rodgers audio we'll get to. He's at the Pro-Am.
I heard it.
Pebble Beach. Yeah, we'll get to that. But we got this this bit we've been working on. We still haven't coined the right name for it, but it's whatever. It's basically, who do you trust more? A groundhog?
Right.
Or this, all right? You guys ready for the list?
Yes.
Who do you trust more, a groundhog determining future weather patterns or an actual meteorologist predicting future weather habits?
Come on, dude. I'm going with the meteorologist. Frankie Flowers types, you can't go wrong.
They can get it wrong. They get it wrong all the time.
Not my guy, Frank. Anyway, I trust the meteorologist.
Meteorologist. Okay, you're on the meteorologist.
CP24 had... I think it was, I can't remember her name. She was great.
They do a great job, you know, but I think a lot of it is just, what is the other person doing?
Exactly.
Oh, you've got a storm coming? Yeah, me too. I was just looking at that.
You see it on the news all the time.
There might be
in Florida.
A storm.
It's like, yeah, it's going to be perfect out. Or you're in Florida on a
I
vacation.
Actually find the weather people to be like, around 12, you might see some showers. You're golfing, all of a sudden, 12 showers.
They do hit it, but more than the groundhog. The groundhog's 50%.
Yeah, it's a coin flip.
I'm going to go with the meteorologist, though, as well, because there's more information, more data.
You're talking about a hog and a real person.
I know, but you're talking about the weather.
For all of this, you have to consider you're talking about a hog.
Believe me, this is just the start. Everyone's a person. And there's going to be times where you're trusting...
The hog.
The hog.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
I'll go meteorologist, though.
All right. Yeah, I'm on meteorologist. A groundhog predicting the weather or Ben Simmons from three?
Groundhog. Dude, I'm going hog.
The groundhog.
Dude, I'd even go hog over Ben Simmons playing.
How about Ben Simmons open lane layup? Groundhog
He'll
predicting?
Pass it.
I think it's still a groundhog.
No, dude, come on. Ben Simmons, an open lane layup. I'm going Ben Simmons over the hog.
No, I think it's 50-50.
Three-pointer or maybe dressing, I'm going hog, but I'll take Ben Simmons layup. Come on.
Three-pointers, no doubter. Yeah. From the line, I'd say a free throw, it's still the groundhog all day.
A layup? Come on.
Semi-contested layup. It's groundhog.
It's the groundhog, and I think the
open
groundhog
lane,
with,
maybe
with a non-contested.
Think about what you're saying right
it.
Now. You're talking about
it's
a guy that makes $35 million,
and it's
a
legitimate question. Jacques Vaughn would probably say groundhog.
Did he not have a lane? Last year he had a lane to the bucket, and he passed it.
Absolutely,
it's the groundhog.
There's a ton of examples of that. Open lane.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not doing it.
Or he just misses it. Groundhog predicting the weather or Al's brother picking NFL games?
Groundhog.
That's my guy. I'm going Al's brother. All day.
No, you're not.
Groundhog.
You're compromised.
Don't see it happening.
What do you mean it's groundhog. Compromised?
It's groundhog. It's groundhog.
Groundhog's it's Al's 50-50. Brother. You got to admit, that guy has some good picks.
He's making some good picks. Last week was not his best week.
No.
He's had a couple of weeks where
but when the chips
it's
matter.
Been clouded.
This is the King Daddy topper here coming up.
Yes,
it is.
This is the
and I think if
weekend.
You had an overall record type thing for Al's brother, it's B plus all day long.
It's not much more than the groundhog. Groundhog's 50-50, man. And Al's brother, he might be 51%. It might
it's
lean
close.
Al's brother.
It's a coin flip.
But I think in a big game, it's the groundhog. Groundhog predicting the weather or the Leafs in the playoffs. Joe from the Bridge probably won't post this. Oh, he did. I'm surprised he put that up on TV. You got to be honest. It's groundhog right now. Like, it is groundhog. Based on their history, it's groundhog. No one wants it, you know.
I'm not going to slap the Leafs in the face, but they haven't got out of the first round in 6 years. They haven't won a playoff series in 18.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not taking a stupid groundhog over the
tournament. You're on the Leafs.
I'm taking Leafs.
You're on the Leafs. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't want to be disrespectful.
All right, take that one out then. Fine.
Let's
you don't have to.
Pull this one out of it.
All right, you can pull it out.
Is.
That's Joe from the Bridge shouldn't have been posting
put that. Take
that's
that banner.
That's a stupid idea to put that one up,
Joe.
That
one shouldn't count.
Exactly. Let's
that
just
one shouldn't
let's
count.
Table that
pass.
One and move on. We'll pass.
Pass.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'll pass on that.
All right. Groundhog predicting the weather or Tom Brady on retirement?
Brady's retiring, dude. He's not coming back.
You're so naive.
I'm taking the groundhog. I think 3 months from now.
Dude, I'll bet you 500. You want to bet 500?
No, I don't need to bet. I don't want to bet. I don't need to bet. But this
just
guy
to have
can
the bet out there. 500.
No.
Just to have it.
500 pesos.
Okay. What happens?
500
bucks. 100 bucks.
100 pesos.
What if Giselle comes back to Tom and she gives the Rocky speech like, go win? Like, now they get back together, and it's like
the Rocky speech?
Remember the speech? Yes, Rocky 3.
I was thinking about her yesterday.
Adrian.
Like, did she send a note to him saying, you couldn't walk away to go and play like that for a year? I mean, we don't know the details
of
that.
We don't know, but I got to think
I thought about that.
I got to think he regrets playing this year. You got to think. There's a part of him that's like, I probably didn't need that.
If it was Giselle slash marriage or go and play like that for a year, I think he's taking a mulligan on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably,
I feel like.
But I'm going to go groundhog.
I'm going groundhog.
Nah, I'm going Brady. I'm flipping. I'm going Brady.
I'm going groundhog. I think he
Brady.
Gives a chance.
I'm going hog.
Groundhog predicting the weather. Do you have more faith in that or wearing white pants on a hot day?
Do we need to discuss this again?
Hog. Hog around the table.
Yeah, unless you have triple layered padding underpants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get labeled some guy with bad swass on a hot day. You can never recover from
Chris
that.
Chris Berman.
Yeah, Berman. I was at the Pro-Am at Pebble.
And he was wearing.
He had light khakis.
He had khakis on. And he sweat. Right
they were
from
road darks by 18.
The back of his neck, all the way down to his toes.
The Swami, he got sewered. So that is on the production truck. That someone had
that
it out
true.
For the Swami.
And executives got to say, take the Swami off the TV. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Have some respect.
Someone have respect for Boomer. He's one of the greats of all time.
And producer, he wasn't exactly hitting good golf.
Dude, he was in the bunker slashing
get
it
out.
Around.
Get
he
out.
He had a bucket hat on. It was a mess.
Yeah, if you're the producer or the director, that is on you to not continue to show
you
him.
You can't. Swami's got
the
swass.
Only thing about that golf tournament, I love Bill Murray. Like, he's one of my favorite actors. I can't watch him. I can't
it's
watch
always
that.
The same thing.
That routine,
every
I'm so
year.
Over it. I can't.
That's Groundhog Day. I'm surprised Bill hasn't. I'm
surprised they
there.
Invited him back, to be honest.
He's always getting invited. He's the biggest celebrity there. There's not, like, a lot of the top players aren't there. It's Bill Murray's tournament. Like, he's synonymous with the Pro-Am.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's always the same thing. He's always running down the fairways. You know, hey, we're moving the flag around.
That's
right,
the Caddyshack thing. That's what it is.
Yeah. Do you trust a groundhog predicting the weather or Angel Hernandez behind the plate?
Groundhog. No one blows up Twitter like Angel Hernandez.
It's actually crazy.
I'm going to surprise you and go with Angel here.
Really?
Because as bad as his zone can be, he's still going to be right like 65% of the time, which is horrendous. Right. And it drives you crazy. But the groundhog's 50-50.
Yeah.
Right? Like the groundhog, you're flipping a coin.
Like every time he would ump, he's trending.
He's an auto trend.
It's actually
auto trend.
Must see.
And the headline's the same every time. Angels at it again.
There he is. But the amazing thing is both teams are furious.
You're not tuning in to watch the teams play. You're tuning in to watch the display by Leslie Nielsen behind the.
Yeah. He's a mess.
Home plate.
I miss the Cowboy Joe West. Like, Cowboy, he'd get back there. He had an attitude.
Yeah.
Right, he was miserable. All right, final one. You trust a groundhog predicting weather or astrology? Astrology predicts kind of how your day is going
to
be.
I'm taking a hog all day long. That's so stupid. You're a Pisces. Also, you don't like to eat late. It's
the same. It's the same science. There's nothing.
Yeah, but I'll go with the hog because I think the other stuff is so stupid. When someone says, "Oh, the reason you're like that is because let me guess, you're a Leo."
There are people that are so committed to.
No, I'm not. I'm a Pisces.
Well, it's a lot. It's like mind readers or psychics. Yeah. You know, if you hit like one or two things, you're like, "Oh yeah, you're right. I am a Gemini. That's actually true."
Yeah.
You know, you like. I get you. You like wings, don't you? Yeah. I knew it. I knew you were a Gemini. Meanwhile, you're
just... But the reason they say that is because you've got wing sauce all over your face.
Yeah. Breathing. You know, there's a lot of different possible ways to pick that off. But
I don't know.
I'm going with the groundhog.
I'm trusting the groundhog, too.
I like the groundhog. Wyerton Willie.
Yeah.
You know, Charcuterie Sam out east and Punxsutawney Phil. Our boy Fred. We miss Fred in Quebec.
Wow.
Fred.
Tough day for them.
Yeah. Great names, though, right? Phil, Fred, Sam, Willie.
Shibogi. What is it? What's the name of the city?
Shubernackety.
Shubernackety. We got.
They just call it the Shoe, though.
The Shoe. Shuby.
That's where
Shuby Sam.
Shuby Sam.
Got to give them love.
That's right. All right, Mike Johnson in 20 minutes. We've got Mike Nolan coming up as well. The Super Bowl is about 10 days away. It's almost go time. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, TSN 1050, we want you to be our unofficial correspondent at the Waste Management Open in Arizona. The first caller through right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050 with the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up wins a $100 gift card to Golf Town and will qualify for the grand prize draw. First Up with Korolnik and Koliakovo will be calling our grand prize winner tomorrow morning. Full contest details available at tsn1050.ca. But if you're not in now, you're not in, right? Like, this is it. You got to call in now, you get in, then you got a chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of people writing in now where they were not happy with us for the mispronunciation of Shuby.
Right.
And now Skecher folks.
Wow.
Skecher people.
I just pointed it out.
Why,
that was me 15 years ago. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
You were an owner of Skechers.
I'm an owner, and
you
I
had
actually Skechers. Have several pairs still to this day.
So
I,
there you
Stu
go.
Stu wrote in, this is funny, groundhog or noodles on a date wearing white pants and Skechers.
White pants and Skechers a look.
That's a tough look.
That is a look.
Either way, Skechers.
Skechers, shout out to Skechers, man.
Who would read a bag on shoes?
Yeah, Matt Kuchar. Loves them.
There we go.
He's basically the equivalent of Shohei Ohtani golf.
Yeah.
Cooch?
They've made a resurgence, right?
Like big time.
But I couldn't pull the trigger. I don't even the logo.
Yeah.
The S, like it's
but also like the sole is quite thick.
It's a thick sole.
Like
it's a
thick,
comfortable sole.
Like I don't mind it. If it gave me an inch and a half, all of a sudden I'm 6'2" instead of 6 feet, you feel a little bit more
connected. There you go. Okay.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that angle.
Like, but I can't even take Howie Long when he does that commercial where he falls down in the chair, and it's like, no way, Howie. How much did they pay you?
Romo does Echo shoes, doesn't he? Or does he do Skecher?
I think he did, too, with his wife.
I think Romo might be. And then there's
here. We
Nicky Faldo.
Be them because it's,
hey, if Skechers, you want to reach out, we'll give them a shot.
We could. You never know. I mean, I don't know. We'll take a twirl.
I feel
possibly.
Like I've got a pair at the house. I'm gonna bring them back out.
We need squares, is what we need. We need a pair of those for the golf season. We need Nick Faldo to hook that up.
No
and
way.
Sepp Straka. I was gonna say Sepp Blatter. Sepp Blatter wearing squares. Anyway,
I'm surprised Nicky Faldo's nose doesn't start growing when he says these shoes change the game.
Yeah, he's what is he? They claim it's like 10 or 15 yards off the tee
because with of the shoes.
Because of shoes.
And there's a guy that says, "I've been researching the ground for 20 years." No, you haven't.
Can you imagine getting 15 yards off the tee because of shoes?
Would you do it? If you got,
you know,
15
what's gonna happen
more yards,
is possible. They're going to get sued.
Yeah, because guys will be losing yardage.
Yeah.
All right, final hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.